This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, your ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities. Business, athletes, they'll get you rolling all at NILGameChangers.org. As Debbie gets toward the tail end of everything, we will talk football with the head football coach at Bucknell, Dave Cecchini. Dave, welcome back. How are you?
Oh, thanks. A little wet. We had a practice through Debbie here this morning, and we're still drying out.
Hey, some new facilities, huh?
Yes. Yeah, very, very fortunate. This was something that when I became the head coach back in 2019 was really important to me to completely transform the facilities on Bucknell's campus for the football program. And we're finally here. You know, it took us 5 years to get there, and we've got a brand new building in our the end zone area of Christy Mathewson Memorial Stadium, and that opened up in April. We got a locker room renovation that's also just got completed as well. Brand new field turf on the stadium as well. So it's an incredible situation, a transformation that we're very, very proud of here.
What does it mean to the program, not just today, but what does it mean to the future of the program?
Well, I think when you look at it from a recruiting perspective, it's putting your money where the mouth is for how important football is at Bucknell, and the message that when we're talking to younger kids finishing up their junior or senior year in high school, they come here, they see firsthand that yes, Bucknell is a great school academically, it's got a beautiful campus, but athletics and football specifically are very important for us to be able to have the facilities required to help our players achieve their potential.
How worn down was that turf? I mean, it takes. I remember a few years ago when you come in at Michigan, the press box is across from the entrance. So Jack Ham and I were walking across the field, and this is years ago. I said, "Geez, Jack, this thing's really worn down to nothing here. I mean, it's got nothing to it." Was Christy getting that way?
Yes, definitely. You know, the turf, you know, each field turf has a lifespan, and that's the brand that we have, or any of the artificial turf companies do. But in particularly, the longer you have it, the harder it gets packed. And, you know, there's just not as much cushion and bounce to it. Conversely, when you get a new field, particularly after, you know, having a field that is 10 or 11 years old replaced by brand new surface, you can really tell the difference. And there is a little bit of a breaking in period just to get guys accustomed to, you know, having a softer surface there. It's just a different feel than having that rock-hard surface that comes with a turf that's a decade old.
You've had to go through acclimation, now into pads. I mean, how do you like the start to camp?
Yeah, it's been a very physical start. I really like our depth. We have a lot of players coming back from a year ago, and it's great to see the veterans kind of take control. The culture is there. They're leading by example. They're doing a great job of just helping these incoming players, first-year players, adapt and understand how we practice, the intensity and what goes into, you know, a typical August camp. And we've really benefited by having that veteran group. We've been able to be much farther ahead on our installations in terms of offense, defense, and special teams. And we've been able to get more done here through the first week of camp than a lot of other camps that we've had here.
So then that brings it to the next part. How much help have they been in imparting message to younger players as that's how we do things here at Bucknell?
It's critical, you know, and it's the very first talk, you know, when we had our mini camp in July, and we had all of our incoming freshman class, with the exception of one student athlete there in July, and about 60 of our upperclassmen as well. And I talked to the upperclassmen saying the most critical point here in July is to get these first-year players to understand our culture. And we set our culture by our actions and what we do, how we handle ourselves here in July. And then, so that really sets the tone there. And then as you get into August, now everybody's back. We have a lot of seniors coming back from internships and things like that. And so when they reported July 31st, you know, we've already had a head start in that regard. And then you just continue forward and getting these younger guys and some very talented players, you know, just accustomed to exactly how things work here on our campus.
So, Dave, now here's the next part. You've laid a foundation as you start camp. You've gone through the acclimation. You're laying a foundation. In the next week to 10 days, what do you as a coach want to see them accomplish to then make sure they're ready for the opener?
Yeah, so we're doing a great job. We've had a lot of heat and humidity, and that's going to help us because, you know, particularly with our kickoff time of noon down at Navy, it's going to be hot and humid there as well. So I feel like we're deep into the acclimation in terms of the temperatures and the humidity, the heat index. The biggest thing that we're going through right now is we transition into situational football, you know, getting our players accustomed to particular, whether it's a red zone situation, fourth down, you know, when you're in that gray area, do you kick the field goal or do you go for it on fourth down and five, fourth down and six, coming out, 2-minute drills, things like that, special teams, all of these different situations that you're looking at, whether it's a surprise onside or whatnot. That's really when you get into week two of camp, you start getting into that minutia, the little things that are critical for a veteran team, you know, to have exposure to those types of situations. So when they come up week one, you don't have those typical week one hiccups that inexperienced teams can sometimes have.
Well, the first guy people will ask about will be the quarterback spot. What are you seeing from your quarterbacks early on?
Yeah, well, Ralph Rucker, obviously, you know, he broke all the single-season records here this past year, coming off a very, very good year, and, you know, looking to him to take the next step. Obviously, great season, but we don't want him to think that he's arrived. We want him to continue to grow from a leadership standpoint, to continue to be a veteran and a guy who can show that, hey, even though he had this great year, he's not satisfied with that. He's continuing to push himself harder than he ever has before, and he's off to a great start. Michael Hardaway, who's his backup, is another guy who, as a senior, hasn't played a lot of football, but I've just been unbelievably impressed with his maturity, his leadership, and what he's been able to do, taking the younger players under his wing, as well as just coming through and showing, you know, how a veteran player handles himself in practice. And he's been very, very productive on the field with, you know, running the second team offense as well, which is great to see.
Rucker's interesting because he originally came out and was a walk-on at Oklahoma, and I think Lincoln Riley was the coach when he did that. Yeah. He comes in here with that, at least being around it. Did that help as to what his approach happened to be in terms of playing the spot and playing it for you?
Yeah, I think without a doubt, you know, when we were going through the recruiting process and he had entered the transfer portal, you know, the thing that impressed me most was the first time I sat down with him and had a discussion, and we talked a lot about football and a lot about, you know, the type of offense that the Lincoln Riley system was and the similarities to what we're doing at Bucknell, and just to hear his level of not just intelligence in terms of the offense, but just his excitement and his passion for the game. It was really clear to me after 20 minutes that here's a guy who is just totally, you know, passionate about the game of football and a competitor who wants to become the best that he can be.
Look, and he's not bad at running the football either. I mean, sometimes he's had to. But I mean, what does that element bring to the table, especially for your running backs, when you do have a quarterback that's willing to sit there and take off with it?
Sure. You know, it's always a threat when you're running, have a running quarterback. And so when you talk to any defensive coordinators at the collegiate level, and they would rather see a Tom Brady style stand in the pocket, accurate passer, than they would someone who is more of a threat running the football. It just creates so many dilemmas in terms of gap responsibility. Just everything that you're looking at, your life gets more complicated when you're seeing a running quarterback. So we love having him as that running threat. That being said, probably where it's been most valuable to our offense, certainly this past year, was not necessarily on those called quarterback runs or those reads where the quarterback can pull it if the defensive end, you know, is collapsing on and trying to tackle the tailback. But for us, where he was most valuable was on pass plays where he scrambled and was able to leave the pocket. Whether it was scrambling with a purpose and getting the ball down the field to an open receiver after, you know, the routes are all broken and everybody's working a scramble drill. He's done a great job with that. He's also done a great job of taking off and converting some third and longs just with his scrambling ability. And so in both regards, that's one of the things that makes him so special.
Does he now know how you think? And when you have a conversation with him, is he asking the type of questions that tells you that you're on the same page?
Yes, and that's a big test, you know, particularly when you have a first-year starting quarterback like Ralph was a year ago. It's almost before you tell, when they come off the field, the drive is over, before you tell them, hey, here's what you did right and here's what you did wrong, as a coach, you collect information from them to see, and this gives you a great idea of how well is he seeing the field, how, you know, under pressure, in a tough situation, is he recognizing, well, I saw the linebacker creeping up to blitz, I changed the protection, or I saw the coverage shell rotate on the snap. And, without a doubt, when you get a younger quarterback, they're just not going to be able to see as much of that as you have a player that's been in your system for a couple of years. And it's been great to see him change from his first game starting in the season opener against James Madison a year ago to where he is at right now. He is able to kind of regurgitate what he saw and describe. And his vision is getting better and better.
Who will be critical defensively in getting control over the opposition's running game and making them one-dimensional, where then your pass defense can take over?
Yeah, I think that it starts. To stop a run game, you have to have a nose who can just eat up double teams and be a very, very physical player. So Cade Rooney is that guy for us, just a physical player out of St. Joe's Prep who came in as a tight end, gained a lot of weight, and has just become a special player up front. He's really key in terms of plugging up that middle. Now, Brad Jamison, our all-conference linebacker, you know, he has the statistics, and he is a very physical. He is your old-school, 6'3", 240-pound style of linebacker. He can run, but he's more of a throwback just in terms of his size and his physicality, and he would be the second between Brad and Cade Rooney. The two of them have been very, very productive, and that's the key to making our competitors' offenses become as one-dimensional as possible, hopefully shutting down that run and forcing them into the pass.
It's a side note, but this is the 100th anniversary season of Christy Mathewson Stadium. And contrary to what some may believe, Dave, I was not there at the first game. So, Birdsong maybe, not me. Okay. What does the place mean to you? Now you've been, fifth season. What does the place mean to you?
Yeah, I think the history, you know, that's the first thing that I talk about. It's like we have this unbelievable human being, incredible multi-sport professional athlete, who was Christy Mathewson. Why is the stadium named after him? That's a great story in its own self. And, of course, being from somebody who was in World War One and a combat veteran and a hero through that. I mean, it's just an amazing story to tell. The second thing is now we have this unbelievable unbelievable combination of this beautiful stadium that's been around from 100 years with the Bucknell shrubs spelled out in the end zone. It's created this great historic environment, but on the opposite end of the Bucknell shrubs, you have the newness, the Pascucci Team Center, the new practice fields, the brand new scoreboard that's the video board that's up, and you get a great contrast. It really is an incredible, at the Division I FCS level, an incredible place to play and experience a football game now, and just that combination of the history and that the stadium has, along with the new cutting-edge facilities, weight room, and video board, things like that.
Yeah, I don't want people to forget this, only because this is going to be the 100th anniversary of Michigan-Illinois at Illinois, the Red Grange game. Yeah. But when you play Lafayette on November 2nd, I think the first game when there was October 18th, 1924. So there'll be a lot of nostalgia surrounding that. And again, only Doug was there. I was not there, okay? Wasn't there, Dave.
I'll stop spreading that rumor then.
I mean, that's why I had to go to what I thought was the source. No. Dave, absolute pleasure. We'll talk again soon. Look forward to the season very much.
All right, thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
Okay, Dave Cicchini, head football coach at Bucknell. 100 seasons at Christy Mathewson Stadium. The suit claims he was there, but it's like, you know, Kevin, no. It's no. I knew Christy Mathewson. Oh, no. Don't do that.
I hate to say, but I think the first game I covered at Christy Mathewson was 31 years ago, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Hey.
Actually, it's I think I did the doubleheader because I think Lewisburg played that night.
Okay. Because they've had 457 Bucknell games, football games, in that stadium. And you're talking about 100 years of anything? It is remarkable how, even through improvements, just the ability to stand the test of time. And I think it's a beautiful stadium. Every time I've been in there, I love the place. And it is...
I think the unfortunate part is some of my favorite games I've seen there haven't involved Bucknell. I see more high school games obviously there than college games.
Right. Well, that I understand. Yeah, no, I understand that.
It'll be interesting to see if the new facilities help them. You know, I feel like that. You know, they haven't been. They've gotten off to such, you know, the schedule's so tough early. They've gotten off to such a slow start, but have played so well late in the season. I feel like if they're able to kind of get off to a good start this season, they have a shot to make some noise.
Yeah. But well, they're deeper and better. No getting around it. Deeper and better. And that's going to make a big difference. I mean, I know they have Navy. I know they have Penn. Along the way to go with the Patriot League schedule. But, yeah, this is... I think he has a chance, without question, to be his best season.
Lafayette's going to be real good, though.
Yeah, but you know what? I like the nostalgia of it because I know Illinois is making a big deal, and justifiably so, the 100th anniversary of Michigan-Illinois from 1924. Well, around here, guess what? This is a big deal too.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, Christy Mathewson is buried in Lewisburg, right? If I recall correctly.
I cannot answer to the negative or the positive.
I believe he is. I believe he's buried at the Lewisburg Cemetery, adjacent to the university.
Huh.
So, yeah. I mean, it's a very simple gravesite. If I recall it correctly, it's just very simple. It's not like, hey, he pitched, he did this, he did that. No, it's pretty simple. I mean, yeah.
I've been to the other Christy Mathewson field, too. There's one in they played the Little League State Baseball Tournament there maybe 5-8 years ago when Seals Grove made it. They played it in Factoryville. There's a Christy Mathewson Little League field there too.
Okay. Right. At Keystone College?
No, right outside of Factoryville, actually.
Okay.
It's pretty rural.
Okay. Well, that's very rural.
I know. I had to drive past Lake Wallenpaupack to get there.
Yeah.
It's not a short ride.
Oh, did you really? No, that is not a short ride.
It is not.
No. He was one of the first 5 inductees of the Baseball Hall of Fame, but he passed away in 1925. So, all right. We'll take a break. Go back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by NIL Game Changers.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, this half hour being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, light, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. You have a multitude of insurance needs. They handle them all. They make sure you're fully insured. They do everything they can to save you money. Great people who happen to be great pros. And the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament was a huge success. 33 teams out there. And with the suit not playing, there was nobody wounded. What?
We almost got you, didn't we?
Us? Yeah, you almost did once.
wasn't me.
That doesn't matter. It was Drew.
I know. I told Drew I was glad it was him and not me.
Yeah, that's right. We were standing up on, the 6th tee?
Yes.
And I hear, 4 right! And I think it hit a birch tree or something like that. And like, smack. I'm like, oh, really?
That's what he said. He was like, I knew it was going to hit the tree.
Yeah, as the ball was in the air, he found religion. Christy Mathewson, 373 career wins, right? 13 20-win seasons, 4 30-win seasons, including 3 in a row, 1903, 4, and 5. His best season was 1908, 37 wins. Then he fell back to 25, then 27. Really? complete games? How about 435 of them? The 1905 World Series is the one that sets him apart because against the Philadelphia A's, he pitched in 3 games. three complete games, 27 innings. He gave up only 13 hits. He threw three complete game shutouts. He struck out 18. He walked only one. He hit one. That was it. Ironically, after that 3-0 1905 World Series, he pitched in three other World Series, and he pitched great, but he was 2-5 in those games. His career ERA in the World Series, despite being, especially you look at 2-5 the last eight starts he had, all right, 0.97. Really? 0.97 was his ERA.
That seems good.
Good Lord. Yeah, he was a great, great player.
And you were right. I looked it up while we were on break. I knew you were right, but...
About what?
Christy Mathewson being buried in Lewisburg.
Yeah, Doug says it's behind... Lewisburg Cemetery, he says behind Soika, I believe. I believe that's where it is.
The original press parking from Soika, I probably drove past it 30 times. You have to drive right in past the cemetery and around and park in the back there. And it is stunning to me that I never knew Christy Mathewson was buried in Lewisburg. I feel like that gap in my knowledge is on me.
There's a lot of people probably in Lewisburg don't know. I mean, look, it's not, believe me, if you go to try and find it, hey, to be honest with you, Todd, you got to try to find it. It is not like one of these big plaque and whatever. No. It's very small. And it mentions his military service. It doesn't mention what year he was born and what year he died. That's it. It doesn't mention that he won 373 games. It doesn't mention that he's a World Series champion or anything like that. It doesn't mention any of that. He also managed for the Reds. Pitched one game for the Reds. Of course, he won it. Managed for the Reds, took over a bad team, and managed 2.5 years. In years 2 and 3, they were over 500 each time. They had a better record each year. But, yeah. Mathewson, Christy Mathewson. They say his top-out salary was $10,000 in 1909 and 1910. Amazing. In 1909, he won 25 games, and in 1910, he won 27. Pretty good. The year he won 37 games, he had 34 complete games. He also had 5 saves. He led the league in saves. Okay, great. Christy, you tired? No, we need to get 2 outs here. Thanks.
According to the inflation calculator, that is the equivalent of $300,000, that $10,000 in 1909.
Really?
Yes.
That's not a lot of money.
For athlete salaries today, no, it's not.
No. Wow. But, yeah.
Well, so. It's also back then, they probably cut his salary when he went from 37 to 28 wins.
Right, they probably did. In fact, they did. He went down to the $9,000.
Of course.
But Babe Ruth, Ty Cobb, Walter Johnson, Honus Wagner, and Mathewson were the first 5 inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Andy didn't kill John McGraw. That probably got him partly into the Hall of Fame as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Letting the manager live, good news.
I can't remember who wrote it, and I found it like in a used bookstore, but I have a great early Orioles history book, like when the guy that used to manage the Brooklyn Dodgers, when Wilbur Robinson and John McGraw played together, and all the little tricks they used to pull, and wait for the second base umpire to look out in the outfield and cut across the field and not touch second base.
Great. Oh, geez. Perfect.
Hey, the quickest way between 2 points is a straight line, right?
That's true. And they took it.
Yes, they did.
And they took it.
They ran like those T-ball videos you see now where the kid runs the wrong way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he ended up, I think he passed away up at near Lake Placid, up at Saranac Lake. I think that's where he passed away. He had tuberculosis.
It was like, I used to read a lot about him. I think it was from mustard gas in World War I, I think they blamed it on.
Could very well have been. Absolutely. Could very well have been. So,
actually, the scary part is I don't think it was from the actual war. I think when they were training him for the war, they used to throw him into a thing to get him used to it with the gas mask.
Great. That's just fabulous. Yeah, smart. Love it.
We did improve on things since back then.
I hope so, because there are a lot of days I'm not so sure.
Well, that's true, too.
Yeah, so.
Let's get you used to the poison. We're going to throw you in there.
Great.
Okay, sir.
Can I go first? I want to go first. I'm glad we're able to slip that in. You know, with this being the 100th year of the stadium, that's great. So there you go. Okay. Mentioned about commencement coming up this weekend, the U.S. Olympic year, but the men's 4x100 relay. Now, we should be the best all the time. You know what our problem continues to be?
Handoffs.
Over and over and over again, including today. The U.S. got disqualified today because they botched the handoff. Canada won the 4x100.
Johnson's a little old to run that anchor leg, isn't he?
The what?
I said Ben Johnson's a little old to run that anchor leg, isn't he?
He's permanently disqualified.
That's true, too.
Running under the name of the suit. Okay? The United States has not won a gold medal in the 4x100 relay since 2000.
Oh.
It's unbelievable. Okay? Since 1995, between the Olympics and the World Championships, the U.S. has now dropped 11 batons or had disqualifications or bans. It's unbelievable. I mean, this should be something with no. I mean, I'm expecting them to win the gold medal in it. I know, of course, Noah Lyles wasn't going to run in it because he's got COVID, but still. Right about, let's see. I don't know if we have an update on Aaron Brooks here.
When you were
Aaron Brooks won the bronze medal. Aaron Brooks did win the bronze medal. He was able to win over Javel Shapiev of Uzbekistan 5-0. Bronze medal, Aaron Brooks, Penn State degree tomorrow.
I saw Spencer Lee got the silver as well.
Ooh, how did Mom react?
I don't know, but I did see he was wrestling a guy that had beaten him twice before and had beaten Zane twice, so he was probably pretty darn good.
Yeah. Now, Zane Rutherford and Kyle Snyder both get going actually tomorrow.
I think Zane's at like 5 in the morning tomorrow.
Yeah, 5:30, I think. Yep. And Brooks gets bronze. Kyle Dake is going for bronze tomorrow. Romo Bravo Young was knocked out of the tournament early.
Audrey had a real good story in yesterday about David Taylor and Dake. And all that went on this spring. And I did not realize that Kyle Dake's father passed away in April.
I did not know that.
He like, within a week, his father passed away. He had moved down here with Dave, to start the wrestling stuff with David. And David told him he was leaving to go to Oklahoma State. And the trials were all within, like, 2 weeks of each other.
Oh, jeez.
Like, and he's in the Olympics. That is wow. I realize he's a wrestler, but that's one mentally tough dude.
No question. So Lee gets the silver. Brooks gets a bronze. Rutherford wrestles with Kyle Snyder tomorrow. And it's been a great year for Aaron Brooks. Hey, winning a bronze medal, coming within 5 seconds of wrestling for gold, and he gets his degree tomorrow with Carter Cerace. We will take a break. We will come back and wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the final
segment. I'm sorry about that. Legendary Chichi Rodriguez, I was sitting here, passed away today at the age of 88. 22 senior tour wins and 8 PGA wins. And this moment on WKRP in Cincinnati with Les Nessman.
Turning to sports. Winner of this week's Gulf Coast Golf Classic was Chai Chai Rodriguez. Chai Chai finished with a 9 under par score.
Chichi Rodriguez.
Hopefully, Mr. Rodriguez will play up to par next competition.
More music, less Nessman. What a showman. He went to Lewistown Country Club a few years ago and put on a phenomenal... Here, I'm going to hit a drive off my knees. It's 260 yards down the middle. I'm gonna act like there's a tree in front of the green. He takes one, lifts it up about 100 feet in the air, drops it down 20. Just an absolute showman and a great player. I believe he was the grand marshal of the Rose Bowl parade when Penn State played Oregon. So, yeah. Chichi Rodriguez. How many of you have ever made a putt, swung the club a little bit, and act like you're putting it back in under your arm, like, boom. That's Chichi. But he was at Lewistown Country Club. He put on a show. Fabulous. But yes, more music, less Nessman. Oh, goodness gracious. Well, we're heading to the big time here of the next 9 days. They'll go today, tomorrow, off day Sunday, then they go all next week, including Wednesday night. Wednesday night, they're scheduled to go into the stadium. Now, I think they're going to have to enter the stadium probably through Gate B, I'm going to guess, because I don't think they can go through the normal. I mean, that's all. Everything's cordoned off there. Can't go down curtain at all. So, there you go.
Is that permanent during all the renovations? Is curtain going to be closed?
No.
No?
No. They want all this stuff out of the way. and they'll work on the video board, the new ribbon board they're putting up over the south end. They already have the infrastructure in place for it, so they've already erected that. But that ribbon board will not be ready until mid-October. And because of the October schedule, Penn State only has the one home game with UCLA. They aren't back for 4 weeks after that. So the first game that they think they'll have that ribbon board in place will be Ohio State on November 2nd. You know, and operational. I mean, that's the way I understand.
That's just one more thing to add to that Saturday, right?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, the new scoreboard.
Let's use this. Great. So, yeah. Now, believe it or not, they are thinking about, and they haven't made a final decision on this yet, but I think they're getting close to it. Because, to my credit, I stay out of the loop on things. With good reason. Okay, just tell me where I got to be. I don't need to be, don't need to know how the sausage is made. Just tell me where I need to be. All right. They're talking about doing the pregame show inside the stadium. Like on the field, like inside the stadium. Either that or the concourse, one of the two. Instead of doing it outside. Instead of being outside the stadium, they want us inside the stadium somewhere. Okay.
Man, you guys have been outside the stadium since I was a kid, haven't you?
Well,
maybe
we've been,
you not personally.
Okay. Fran and George, let's see, Bill and George were over by the Rock. Fran and George, I think, then started doing the pregame at the Rock. And when I mean Bill Zimfer. Bill's a great guy, great announcer. Bill Zimfer and George were at the Rock. Then they put Fran and George at the Rock. Then they moved them to the Jordan Center, outside the Jordan Center, Jordan Ticket Center. And that's where Jack and I were for years. Right? And then the last couple, 3 years, they've had us outside the tunnel at Beaver Stadium. One of the issues of being outside the tunnel at Beaver Stadium is quite simple. If it's a night game, not everybody is sober. And we've had a tendency for a few people to run up on stage. It's like, what are we doing here?
I bet that's fun in this day and age.
Well, the person that freaks out is Roger, and he's not the one on the stage. He is. I said, they don't come up to us. They just like run up on the stage, sprint across, and run down.
Yeah, wow.
Like, okay. I just kind of look over and go, all right. And I look over, I look at Brian Tripp, and I say, one of your friends?
Surprised the suit hasn't tried that yet.
Okay. The stage is elevated by about 5 to 6 feet. What are his odds that he jumps up on the stadium, on the stage? Now let's take it to the other side. What are the odds he doesn't break something jumping down?
On his person or on the stage?
Ooh, that is a multiple choice question that does need more examination.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.